I guess we're on. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for your patience today. We had some problems with our server, so I really appreciate you guys hanging in there. Welcome back to another Monday with TheFandom.com, and today we've got a really special treat for you, a true fan favorite, not just for one of her roles on Star Trek, but for all of them. And as a producer and a fan favorite in general for you guys as well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Denise Crosby. Hey, Denise.
Hey, Chase.
Thank you so much for joining us.
It is my pleasure to be here.
Really, really good to have you. So, you have just such a history in the genre, and I've just got so many questions to ask you about having been on the show and then, of course, as a producer. But I want to take it back to your beginnings as an actress.
Mm-hmm.
And what, you know, I've read some interviews about it was just your passion, you know, from a very, very early age. Tell me about what first got you into this art and the business.
You know, I was always sort of doing things in school. Pretty early on, mm-hmm. you know, in elementary school. And then I kind of went through a rebellious period where I didn't want to do anything that was associated with my family, mm-hmm. you know, which mm-hmm. which it had to be defined by me, you know, it had to be in my own terms.
Right.
And you know, Hollywood is a strange place for that when you're a child of and I'm sure that most of your listeners know that my grandfather was Bing Crosby.
Right.
So it sort of created this interest and curiosity mm. and, you know, people sort of made assumptions about things and all of that really turned me off until I traveled a little bit, went to Europe, did some modeling, got a little bit of life experience,
right.
and then came back to LA. And started studying in a workshop one summer with a man named Michael Fuller, who was teaching at USC during the school year, and during the summer had this workshop. And it was like, yes, this I get. It's not about being a Crosby. It's not about being anything but who I am as an actor.
Sure.
So from that point on, then it was very exciting, and I was hungry for, you know, knowledge and the work, and took off from there.
Right, right. And in reading some of your interviews on you know different sites on StarTrek.com, you know, from your love of acting as a whole, as an art form, you know, and encouraging people to go see theater and be involved in the theater and do all of that. In the very beginning, did you do theater and then start out in television, film? Or?
Yeah, you know, at first it was a matter of you know, getting a good teacher, mm-hmm. getting into a class, mm-hmm. Doing the work, reading any play and every play I could get my hands on,
right.
and bringing it in class and doing scenes, and starting to just get into some local theater productions, you know, Equity Waiver productions,
right.
all over town, and eventually getting a part in one of Blake Edwards' movies. I was dating his son
okay.
at the time.
Okay.
So he was re-editing the movie 10
okay.
at the time. He had to make a sort of a PG version of the movie
right.
10 that would
right.
play on airplanes, that would play in countries with really strict ratings.
Right.
So he was doing some reshoots and asked if I would... if I wanted to be, you know, this character in the reshoot of the movie 10.
Okay.
So I had no Screen Actors Guild membership
no
at that point.
No previous credits or whatever.
Nothing
right.
at all. And
okay.
Was able to get my SAG card from that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
sort
great.
Of fun.
Very, very fun. There's a couple questions from the audience. We're going to alternate back and forth between my questions for you and their questions. Daniel, one of our hosts, says, Denise, I loved your return in yesterday's Enterprise. Much more on that later. How many episodes did alternate Tasha's child, Sela, appear in? And I believe it was just Redemption and Unification?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
As far as I can remember.
You must have had so much fun playing her.
Oh, what a chance
yeah.
to play your own daughter.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if that's ever been done,
yeah.
quite frankly. You know,
yeah.
I'm only in sci-fi. Can you
right.
can you pull that off, you know,
right.
unless you had a million facelifts or something?
true.
And in Hollywood, that's quite possible.
Exactly true. Exactly. And you know that I think you probably gave birth to the Star Trek adage, being killed off means an automatic 10 more episodes. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, they did everything imaginable to create these fun things, which is so great.
I know. My favorite thing is that I had to die to get the best episode.
I know. And I understand. I mean, that I know that yesterday's Enterprise was a fabulous episode. But you died. Let me just make sure that I understand. You died in Skin of Evil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then your memorial in yesterday's Enterprise was the best episode.
Ah.
Your favorite episode.
Well, wait. Yesterday's Enterprise was when I came back in the alternate time.
Right.
Timeline, okay. And Tasha was suddenly alive again. So the memorial, when I was a hologram,
right.
That was still in Skin of Evil.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to...
Wait a minute. Was it? Yes, of course, yes.
It's just hard to keep that.
I know. Yes, it was in Skin of Evil. That's right.
Making sure that we got the episode name
right. It was my funeral, you know?
Right.
And so they
right.
But I was alive.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
In the hologram.
Really fun stuff. Let me just go back to Sela for a second. Redemption and unification. So to play somebody who is responsible for her own mother's death, which is your death, right, or one of your deaths, right? I mean,
right.
Where did you draw upon yourself? I mean, that what an aggressive character. You're a strong woman, you know, and that is just so, like, she is so deep and action-packed as well.
You know, it really came about through, I would say, I gained a lot of inspiration from the movie Dances with Wolves.
Really?
Because it really reflected how you are a product of your environment.
Right.
You know, if you're raised with wolves, you're going to be a wolf, you know?
Okay, right.
So in other words, Sela was this little baby.
Mm-hmm.
Whose mother was killed,
right?
You know, so she was sort of brainwashed by the Romulans entirely
right.
to be the enemy of her and her human side.
Right.
So, you know, that's all she, and you know, fiercely held on to that. So, what I was looking for eventually to happen was that she would, you know, come crashing face to face with her. With humans and with not only humans but her mother's allies and her you know teammates you know
right.
her shipmates and would have to deal with something that she has suppressed and denied and you know taken on this kind of image about and have to try to deal with that.
Right.
So, it's sort of a fascinating, complex,
right.
you know, thing that you know people that you have skeletons in the closet and you don't want to deal with them, so you pretend they don't exist,
right.
or you pretend you're not, you know, you pretend you're something else.
Right.
And
it's a great message.
You know, it has to you eventually are going to have to face it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know when you lay your head down at night who you are.
Right.
Ooh. You know?
Chills.
I know.
Absolutely. I mean, that's such a great such a great message. I mean, everybody faces that.
Yeah.
If
they face it, yeah. You know. I mean, I think you can only dance around it for so long, and then it's going to have to
right,
you know, come up in some way.
If you don't bend, you'll break.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, all
I
those
hear
things.
You. I do. How about the action sequences? You said in one of your interviews that you that Tasha could have kicked Kirk's butt, and I believe it, girl. I mean, how did you train for those, and what was your what was that whole thing like? I know you took Aikido and
Aikido. Jonathan Frakes and I had a Aikido master come to the set twice a week.
Oh, that's cool.
And during lunch, while everyone else was, you know, running off to the commissary,
right,
we'd put on our little gis and go and practice in some space on a soundstage that wasn't being used.
That's so fun.
And it was great. You know, it was really, I regret that I didn't continue it, you know, after I left the show. I would be an Aikido master now, you know. But
like anything.
Yeah, right.
Say. Oh well.
Oh well. You know, yeah. it was great fun, and especially with Jonathan, who's a riot. You can imagine, right, you know, flipping him around, and then sports and athletics. You know, I was always doing, and I'm still,
right,
you know, really like sporty and,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. So. Do you?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I ran 3 miles today.
You're in great shape.
No, well,
yeah.
Then,
no,
I mean, now
absolutely.
It's a little harder, but
yeah,
you know,
that's cool.
Gotta work a little harder.
And
but
having a 7-year-old son certainly keeps you busy,
yeah,
I'm sure,
you
in that way.
Up.
Yeah.
You gotta keep
You're
up.
You're his buddy, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah.
I'm his teammate.
Yeah, I know. I've seen you guys together, and it's so great. It's
oh.
That's just how it should be.
Let's take another couple questions from the audience. Ms. Crosby, do you have any siblings?
No, I don't. I'm an only child, although I do have some half-brothers and half-sisters who I didn't meet until we were adults.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't have a real connection because,
right,
I think, you know, you need to grow up together to really,
right,
mesh and
yes,
you know, put roots in with each other. Otherwise,
right,
you know, it's like meeting, you know, some stranger,
yeah,
and you're supposed to now be brothers and sisters.
Right.
So
there was not a lot of that whole family whole.
No.
Thing. Yeah.
That whole familial,
yes,
thing.
Yes,
that
I know.
Rockwellian, Norman,
right,
Rockwell image,
yes,
was not happening,
no,
in our,
no,
family.
No, much the same with my son, who's never, you know, had that whole other side of the family thing going on. It's completely, you know, it makes you strong. I mean, I can see that in you, that you're just,
I think,
who you are.
Yeah, you have to kind of, you know, you're thrust out there, and you're a little bit, you have a little bit of an outsider thing,
mm-hmm,
going, because,
yeah,
it's not what the norm is,
mm-hmm,
you know, and you have to get into that somehow, you know,
yeah,
because it's you're this was what you were born with,
right,
you know. I didn't choose, I mean,
right,
well, I don't know, you know, if I chose it or not, but without getting,
right,
you know, spiritual and,
yeah,
and in a Buddhist kind of mentality,
right,
here, but, you know, let's say that we have this condition in which we're born. I think you want to examine it, you know, and look at it and try to, you know, not be a victim
completely
of it. You,
yeah,
know?
And, yeah,
you shouldn't be.
Absolutely.
You know, we're all unique. We're all different. We've all,
right,
got our
right,
you know, path and our journey.
Right. And look at you now. I mean,
well, yeah.
Right. Right. Okay, here's another completely segue question. Ms. Crosby, I was checking out your movie credits at IMDb, and I realized you were in Pet Sematary, which, of course, most of us know. I hadn't seen a movie in a long time. How did you feel about doing a horror movie? You've got a lot of genre credits, which prove,
yeah,
you know, of course, that you're well-loved in all areas of the genre.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Thank you. Pet Sematary was an amazing, amazing film to do.
Yeah.
You know, Stephen King, I'm a big fan,
yeah,
of his.
Yeah.
I felt like I was, you know, in this great company of actors, you know,
yeah,
who had done these Stephen King movies.
Yeah.
And Mary Lambert directed it, who is a great friend of mine, so that was quite an experience to be able to work together on that. And you know, it's chilling stuff. It's
yeah,
you know, it deals with matricide, that film, you know.
Amazing.
And
yeah,
that's risky stuff. I mean, the studio,
yeah,
was very afraid to go there. I mean, there's horror films and there's horror films, you know, there's monsters coming out of the dark, and then there's, you know, children who eventually kill their mother, you know. I mean,
huge,
that's
psychological,
yeah, that's
horror.
That's just,
yeah,
chilling. And
early as well. I mean,
yeah,
that was really early in the popularity of the horror genre. That,
yeah, and, you know, horror films come in and out of favor with the,
yeah,
you know, I mean, they always have had an audience, that's,
right,
for sure, but I mean, in terms of, like, when the studios are making them and things like that. And right now they're making them.
Right.
Again.
Right.
Like everybody has
in droves.
One in, yeah, everyone in has droves. One in production because, you know, they see it as a viable, you know, moneymaker. So.
Right, right. Absolutely. And I know we're bouncing around a lot on this, but you've got one coming out called Mortuary with Tobe Hooper.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun.
That was great.
It sounds
fun.
Like a great script.
Again, a mom.
Uh-huh.
But I sort of turn the tables on the children. So.
Wow.
Yeah, it's Tobe has a great sense of humor.
Yeah, he does.
You know,
yeah.
So he does things a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
And
feud,
he's not afraid to go there, you know,
right.
And with the absurd.
Mm-hmm.
And
so there's a scene or a couple of scenes where you turn on the kids, like you said, and become one of those phantom ghost monsters that they've been dealing with, right? Is that something?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I okay.
Mean, I have,
well,
like, kind of moss growing on me. And
oh, how great.
Yeah, it was.
How fun. How very, very fun. Okay, and when is that due out? Just so I...
You know, I know they're releasing it theatrically, and I don't know. I don't know. I would think maybe fall.
Oh, that's so fabulous.
Yeah, that's... I hope it's a new company. You know, that's releasing it, and hopefully, you know, Toby's a master at the genre.
That's a lot of fun. Did you shoot that on location
in
Massachusetts?
In Pomona.
Oh, really? On location in Pomona?
Beautiful Pomona.
Oh, my gosh.
We were in this historical house that just was perfect. They found this house. It looks like the old Addams Family house, and just... You didn't have to dress it. You didn't have to do anything with it.
Oh, how fun!
And
in Pomona,
it's they moved it from somewhere. It's the like oldest. It was the first house ever built. Now it's a historical landmark.
Wow!
So they're going to refurbish it. But
wow.
You know, we got in there before they did that. So.
Oh, that's way cool. Very, very exciting. We'll absolutely have to watch for that. Keep your eye out. I'm sure that'll be featured on StarTrek.com, everybody, and other places, too. I'm sure you'll be hearing about it soon. Take another couple of questions from the audience. I was looking at DeniseCrosby.com, but you don't. That's not up and running as of now, right?
Right.
Do you have a website? Do you have some place, kind of central where people can find out this information?
You know, a lot of no, because I'm about to finally get into that and
okay.
do that because
right.
you know clearly I think there's a need
absolutely.
To do it, and Holly is helping me with that.
Oh, great!
Yeah,
oh,
so
you're
because I need somebody to help me with this because I can't. I'm not a techie person, and
right.
But it's time consuming and you want to do it right. So she is going to help me out. So that should be up and coming soon.
That's
very
great.
Soon.
Yeah, you guys check that out because there's a lot of neat new stuff going on. Let's see. Now, here's another big segue. Usually we don't jump around so much, but there's you know lots of different things to talk about. I know that you said, and I completely as an actor understand your reasons for leaving Next Gen. You had other offers and you had completely, you know, better fun things to do on screen in the other offers than unfortunately you were given yet. And it got so much better later, which is the wonderful, delicious irony for an actor.
Yeah.
But I am, and other people are especially impressed on what you've done out of everyone with the Trek franchise, making the documentaries. I mean, that is such a creative, fun, insightful, fun thing that you did.
Thanks.
Tell us about your ideas for starting that and where that all came from.
Well, you know, I'm a fan of documentaries, period. You know, and have been for as long as I've watched movies. When I started to go to the conventions and I started to come home, you know, and tell people where I'd been and what was going on. A lot of times, friends of mine who were not fans of Star Trek whatsoever, they had actually never even seen an episode,
right,
were fascinated by the fact that this goes on.
Yes.
That people get together and celebrate this show and that are, you know, go to this degree. You know, and all the ancillary things that happen.
Sure, in
from
costume,
this show.
In oh,
right.
The whole deal.
Oh,
yeah.
Know the episodes, know the things, know that. Mm-hmm. And they would ask me, you know, really?
Yeah.
What's what's it like? And these are people that I really, you know, that are artistic, interesting, creative people.
Right, but they have no touch with this whole amazing phenomenon.
Yeah, they just, and you know, it's science fiction isn't their trip, you know, right. isn't their taste. So I started to think, this is interesting in and of itself.
Yeah.
Forget, you know, what TV show it's based on, but this is interesting.
Right.
And what is this exactly? You know, mm-hmm. is it kind of a religion? Is mm-hmm. it is mm-hmm. it a social phenomenon? Is, you know, what and why and how?
Yeah.
So Roger Nygaard, who directed Trekkies,
right.
Whom you know.
Right. Roger's great.
Roger and I,
very talented.
Very good friends.
Yeah.
We had done a movie in the past with each other, and we remained friends. And, you know, so often I would get together with him, and I would say, God, this would make an interesting documentary.
So he
finally said, you know what? I'm so sick of hearing you say that. Let's make a documentary. And I was like, how can I make a documentary? I don't know how to make a documentary.
Right.
I don't know how to make a documentary, but we're going to find out.
That's so great.
And he happened to be working with Neo Motion Pictures, doing something completely different. But he knew of a guy, another filmmaker, that was writing a script, a fiction script, and it involved some people traveling across country to a Star Trek convention. And Roger said, I should get you guys together.
Because
maybe there's something. Your ideas can mesh with his ideas. And
it ultimately... What was that, just by the way? Sorry to interrupt, but...
It wasn't... I don't think it's been made.
Okay.
It wasn't the thing Shatner appeared in.
Right. Free Enterprise.
Free Enterprise.
Right.
It wasn't Free Enterprise.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And it wasn't Galaxy Quest or anything like that.
Right.
I don't think it ever got off the ground.
Okay.
And... We met, but ultimately it wasn't. I didn't want to do what he did, and you know he didn't want to do what I did. So we just took off and decided to shoot a documentary.
Hey kids,
and
let's put on a show.
I'm telling you, it was really like that. We knew
the
first convention was a couple weeks away, in our backyard in L.A.
In Pasadena, I remember that.
It wasn't actually. It was at the Hilton, the Airport Hilton. It was the
Fantasticon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Fantasticon.
Careful, yeah.
So we knew that, you know, that was an easy drive to the airport.
Right.
And we knew it was a three-day thing. And we got a guy that had his own camera equipment. We got another guy that had his own sound equipment. And we said, let's go. Let's just show up.
So fun.
And start filming.
Yeah.
And because I had been on the show, I had access to, you know, a lot of the actors.
Sure.
I could go in the green room.
Yeah.
And no one knew what...
No.
We were doing, you
Which
know?
Which is cool, Denise, what are you doing?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Now, you know,
yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just shooting. Let me
ask
you a question, though, and it began.
Very cool. No one else could have done it from that inside perspective.
No.
And your inside perspective and Roger's fresh perspective on it was such a great combination.
Exactly. We really, you know, it takes people together, the combination, you know, of us together to make it happen. You know, Roger couldn't have done it on his own. I couldn't have done it without Roger.
Very, very fun. Yeah, his sense of humor is so...
Yes.
It's so great.
It's hysterical.
And the places that went, and I know this is something you guys know out there, but I just had a lot of fun kind of, taking a relook at this, at Trekkies and Trekkies 2. Rave reviews. Roger Ebert, thumbs up. Entertainment Weekly, one of the quotes was, one of the funniest movies you'll ever see.
Oh.
An affectionate look at Star Trek fans. And I really loved in one of your interviews where you said you really thanked the fans for their humor and their dignity, and their openness, letting you go into their homes, their lives, their offices.
Right.
Tell me about some of those experiences. What was maybe? Do you have a favorite or?
Oh, wow, God. Boy, I'm trying to think. The first one, because then we went, you know, all over the world. And the second one. I think that all of the fans that we got to know and kind of got close with, who became our set pieces in the movie,
right?
You know, were incredibly moving to all of us. You know, they're just genuine. real people, mm-hmm. and they were so generous with their time and their willingness to, you know, talk with us and their openness and mm-hmm. you know, like I told you before, yeah, it was just incredible. I mean, I took a particular liking to Gabriel Kerner. You know, he was 14 years old
okay.
in the first one, and
right.
you know, I just being a mom of a boy,
right.
you
he
know,
has a cutie.
I just felt protective of
right.
him, and he just made me laugh. His use of, you know, big words incorrectly, you know,
right.
and just
right.
I just got such a kick out of him. And of course now he's, you know, he's designing effects.
Right.
And he just did all this stuff for Enterprise. And
so great.
You know, he's on his way, which I told him at 14 that was going to happen.
Do you think that him being in touch with you and being inspired by you, you know, having your kind of backing? I mean, when you're 14 years old and you meet somebody like you that's doing this and that's done what you've done, that could have propelled him quite possibly into.
You know, I'm sure that it did. I mean, although I you know, certainly don't want to take away from his.
No, I don't mean that.
But his, you know, talent.
Just encouragement, that's what I mean.
Absolutely, because he you know, he needed to feel that he was not only okay
right.
in who he was, because, you know, he definitely grew up a little bit, you know, different
right.
than the norm. I mean, he was just so bright.
Right.
You know, most kids are not that bright. I mean, they're bright, but
right.
he was especially,
right.
you know,
and
off
focused.
The charts. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, kids like that do need encouragement. Otherwise, they're out there, you know, feeling like the ultimate geek,
yeah.
you know?
No,
and
yeah.
That's okay to be a geek, you know?
Absolutely, as Roger said, you know, and,
yeah.
and you know, and Roger said in answer to one of those questions, you know, that he thought they were the most positive, upbeat people he ever met, and that they defy any kind of cliche classification, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
You know, and then you quoted Brent, who said, aren't we all peculiar?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know.
Exactly.
And what is it you said about agents, managers?
Oh, God. I mean, you don't want me to start
with right. that. Hello. It's right. only an hour show.
Yeah, right.
Right. But
no, yeah.
Hollywood
I don't know
is
what
the
I was
one that's really pretty peculiar when you
yeah.
take a real life look at it.
Exactly. I mean,
agents, managers, producers,
right.
they're the ones that are like, hello, sometimes. And not in a bad way. I mean, certainly actors are that way, too. So
absolutely.
Yeah, that's funny. They want to know, is there going to be a Trekkies 3?
Wow.
Have you heard that question before?
It sounds like there's, you know, we have to figure out what to do,
concept,
you know, and how
yeah.
to say it in a way that hasn't been said.
Right.
Definitely. I mean, we're kind of working on an idea. We're calling it Basement Trek.
Basement Trek. Okay, you heard it here.
Yeah, for the first time, actually. I'm
like
talking about it. Yeah.
Thank you for letting
yeah,
me scoop this.
You're scooping Basement
Let
Trek.
Let it be known. Okay.
It's sort of, you know, the fan-filled films are really interesting to me.
Yes.
So I want to do a kind of compilation movie of fan films.
That's so fabulous.
And, you know, it's sort
like
of underground.
Or, yeah.
You know, like,
mm-hmm.
Because it's, and that's hence the name, you know, from we're stealing from Bob Dylan's Basement Tracks.
Right.
You know, Basement Tapes.
Right.
And, you know, that's, they're sort of homemade movies.
Right.
Of Trek. And, you know, we'll go and we'll pick a few and we'll see how they're, you know, who they are that has made them and why and
mm-hmm.
how long this has taken them and walk through their sets, and I mean that's a really key element of Trek fandom.
Very.
So
very.
We're Paramount is you know, they haven't slammed the door in our face.
As Paramount would do
yeah.
if they wanted to.
They certainly can. And you know, we're pursuing that. We kind of like the idea. We see that it can be done. It can give, you know, some awareness. I mean, again, here's something that most people aren't aware of.
Right.
You mean people are making films about Star Trek, their own
mm-hmm.
movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, people
yeah.
people don't generally know that.
With the characters.
Right.
In fact, are you...
Some elaborate concepts, some
yeah.
really simplistic, funny, quirky, But some, I mean, I saw sets that blow Paramount sets off the stage.
That's so great.
Amazing.
And very, very talented people, too.
Absolutely.
You know, I meant to say a few minutes ago when we were talking about the effects, a friend of mine, Lee, who you may know, was a dealer at Trek conventions and got in touch with, I think the first person he met was Mojo, who mm-hmm. did effects on Voyager mm-hmm. and won an Emmy or two for that. And then Lee became a part of the staff of Voyager from, you know, he just mm-hmm. had his homemade special effects equipment, and then Lee went on to win an Emmy for Firefly. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
These people
exactly.
are, you know, it's so great to see.
Gabriel was nominated.
Was
an
he?
Emmy?
I didn't know
and
that.
And called me.
Oh, my gosh.
And said, I just want to thank you.
Boy, that's
you know?
360,
and
isn't
Ken,
it?
And Ken, I'm thinking my husband, Roger and I, we said, can you believe, we're trying to get.
Yeah. Right, hello? What about us?
Right. Where's my Emmy nominee?
Exactly.
No, you know, but we were so thrilled.
Remember
we were
like, me when you get to the top,
I
Gabriel.
Know, that's what we I said, Gabriel, the day's going to come. I'm going to be auditioning for you.
Right.
You better remember
right.
me.
Yeah, right. Come see me in the waiting room.
Yeah.
Hey,
God.
That's so funny. Let's see. A couple more questions from... Space Tigger. Love him. Denise, how was it working with Leonard in TNG?
Oh, my God. You know, it legendary Spock. I mean,
yeah,
I think Brent and I were both there, and we were just sort of, in awe and thinking at the same time it was really cool that we never thought that would happen. And Leonard right. was so, you know, was so sweet.
Lovely and gracious.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Easy going.
Gentle.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Yeah. That is really, really cool. Okay, Joya wants to know, are you going to guest star in the Dead Zone on USA? Is there a rumor of that, or
you
is
know,
that...
that's because that's Michael Piller's show, right?
Right.
I think I had mentioned to Eric Stillwell, who's one of the writers.
Right.
I said,
producers.
You know, that would be great,
yeah.
you know, to do, but I don't know, maybe they know more than
I. Know, you know,
let's put it out there in the universe
okay.
and see what happens.
Let's say yes, Denise is
yeah, right.
Okay.
Right.
Right. Fan mail in advance yeah. to Dead Zone.
Yeah.
Phone number. Do you want to take phone calls? You know what? I don't know that we're set up to do that today. If that's a real request, we can consider that. Let me go on to the next question. Let's see. Ms. Crosby, at the end of Pet Sematary, the husband had brought your character back to life with the movie ending with you taking a knife to him. How do you imagine... How do you imagine the movie ending?
Wow. Well, that was... I don't think anybody can imagine it better than Stephen King.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I kind of just read that, you know, all in one swoop. I'm just kind of keeping the pace going. Hang on one second. Let's go. I'm a little behind in answering these questions. Sorry out there, you guys. Well, here we go. It's kind of one of these things that we were just talking about. He says, Denise, I've decided to learn how to write a screenplay because I'd like to write a fifth final TNG movie.
Wow.
Well, who knows, you know?
Yeah.
Would you be interested in reprising the role of alternate Natasha and Sela?
Oh, absolutely.
I bet you would.
God love you.
I
you
bet
know?
You would.
Keep going. You
I
know?
Bet you would. Okay. I've got some other stuff I want to jump to. Well, you know what? Actually, while we're sort of close to the Trekkies conversation, what about Trekkies too? In terms of the international thing, and you know, especially fun that there's Trekkies to the CD, the soundtrack,
oh,
which is
yeah.
really fun.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
And so many kinds. And by the way, you guys can get that at Amazon along with Trekkies 1, Trekkies.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the best place to purchase, as far as you're concerned?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, probably so.
Very fun.
Yeah.
So, did you have fun with the music and all of that?
Oh,
on that?
God, the music. Although Roger took off to film the Trek tribute bands up in Sacramento.
Okay.
For some reason, they're all up in Sacramento. I
okay.
mean, we talk about that in the movie, and
right.
nobody, you know, nobody has an answer for that. There's like five Star Trek tribute bands.
Tribute bands that okay.
That are like, there's Warp 11.
Right.
The
ones that you mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. So they're all up there. They do these shows all over,
and the Funkers and all of that.
Yeah,
too. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And it's you know, so Roger covered that end of the thing. I just couldn't do the bar scene.
Right. No, I hear you.
You know, and although they're so funny, they all came to the premiere,
mm-hmm.
and I think one of the guys wanted to know if I wanted to, you know, go in his car and drink Jack Daniels or something, you know, before the screening of
really?
Trekkies. Yeah,
well,
I said, I don't know.
On the rocks?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I think sharing the bottle with him.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're so nuts, these guys.
Right.
They got to be. I mean, who?
Of course. Of course. Well, and so are we, frankly.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. That's so great. Tell me, I mean, I know you don't want to play favorites, but what are some of the favorite countries that you've been to? And there have been many.
Oh, my God. Well, I think off the top of my head, Serbia was amazing, you know.
Serbia, yeah, wow.
Just because it really brought everything back,
yeah.
in focus as to, you know, how meaningful this show can be,
yeah.
for people. You know, it can really provide a positive hopefulness of the future,
right?
You know, and we kind of take it for granted and think, oh, it's a TV show, and we see it all any day, every day, all day,
too
if
much.
We want to, you know,
right?
In Serbia, where you know the bombs had bombed out their radio receptors and transmitters and everything, and they had no TV. They were doing anything and everything they could underground to get tapes of Star Trek, and you know, watching
right.
them with all gathered around one show, and that would have to last them for months before they could get another one.
Just incredible passion.
You can't, yeah.
Yeah.
And
chills again.
And how
Oof.
they really, you know, took it as meaningful in their lives.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That was profound.
Absolutely. And I'm sure just beautiful in its. In its simplicity and the country itself.
Yeah, I mean the
like?
Country. You know, the food was amazing. It was so different than anything I'd ever experienced. And you know, it was kind of wonderful to see the Serbian people and hear things from their perspective. You know, we had only gotten news reports and that they were, you know, these racist barbarians, and you mm-hmm. know, you because of their hideous Slobodan Milosevic, who just
right.
you know ruined the country for them, and
unimaginable from our point of view. I mean,
yeah,
it's
so
terrific that we're at war, but that
right,
you know,
and you're going, oh my God, you know, with their ethnic cleansing and what they
right.
did, and then you hear, okay, well, you're not hearing the whole story. I mean, we were appalled by what was going on, and this was a, you know, this is historically. Long hundreds of years of fighting
yeah.
between, you know, Muslims and the Serbs and
yeah.
you know and
what they've
so
seen is beyond our imagination.
Amazing.
I'm sure they were incredibly thankful to have you there. I'm going to characteristically now skip around again and say Deep Impact was such a fabulous film.
Well, thanks.
And I just loved what you did in that.
Oh,
it was
thanks.
so just deep and electric and wonderful, and your particular storyline, and working with the actors that you worked with at such an early point in their careers
yeah.
must have been really wonderful.
Yeah, the kids were great.
Yeah,
you know.
I bet. Tell me the story about how that all happened for you, Deep Impact.
Deep Impact was interesting because that character that I played kind of evolved through filming and just getting on the set. I mean, it was one of those very... sort of lightly written characters in the script.
Really?
But once you got there, you could add more, do more, get this character going
right.
a little bit. And Mimi Leder, who directed it...
What a fabulous
you know,
director.
...was so impressive.
Right.
I mean, that was a monster undertaking for
Huge.
Her.
Huge.
I mean, I'd never seen anything like it.
No,
I
thought that of her as she was, because she was a producer primarily.
Well,
I
think
that, right?
I think Mimi started out as a script supervisor.
Wow.
I mean, or script supervisor, if I'm not mistaken, on China Beach.
Right, and she worked with Connell's company and produced ER.
Right,
and then
got to direct a lot of ER,
right.
And moved along with John Wells in that way. So,
but as far as big screen, this was
she had only done one other film.
Yeah.
With, I think it was the Nicole Kidman, George Clooney movie.
Okay.
She did.
Right.
With
not nearly as much action, obviously.
No,
almost
no.
Nothing had as much action.
No, but women, first of all, women directors are so few and far between.
Yeah.
And women action directors are, none.
And they have to be great.
Oh, my God. I mean, you don't get a second chance.
No.
So,
no.
She really pulled this off. I went onto that set where the traffic jam and I have to give the baby away.
Oh, I know. That was my next thing.
There were 3,000 extras brought in for that. And, it was in Manassas on a blacktop highway, Manassas, Virginia, in the middle of summer with 2,000 cars, 3,000 extras. I mean, people were passing out in the
humidity,
heat.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh my God, it was intense for 2 days of that shooting.
And it was literally a traffic jam.
It was a traffic jam.
So you couldn't.
The ADs were communicating through their radios, the car radios.
Oh really?
They had some, transmitter that would allow them to turn on their car radio and get directions.
Wow. That's, that's great.
Very
high-tech.
I wouldn't
have thought of that, but,
That's what DreamWorks, doing a movie at DreamWorks can do for you.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, I will just never forget that scene where you handed the baby away and how incredibly electric that was, and watching
those
kids go. And and then watching you look into your husband's eyes in those final moments.
Oh.
Was that something that was scripted, or did that just happen? Or
no, I think that, in that kind of script writing where it says, and then she turns to her husband.
Right.
Thing.
Exactly. So something simple.
Yeah.
Like that.
What are you
going
to, what do you do with that moment?
Right.
Because you're going to die in any second,
And it was lovely.
And
I remember thinking, watching it, and then as I've watched it, just this last week, just kind of, taking another look at it, you think, what would I do in those moments? In the very last, this is my last moments. Look into your husband's eyes.
Yeah.
Lovely choice.
I know.
Yeah.
It's interesting with that film because I wanted so much to have a child.
Mm.
It was just, that's all I could think about.
Wow.
And I was working, the babies, were twins, a set of twins.
Okay.
So, that you can't keep a baby working
on the set for
longer than 20 minutes, actually,
right.
I think at that age.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
So we were using twins.
Yeah.
And I would have this baby and the mother. And so I would begin to talk to the actual mother of the babies.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, God, I just can't wait. I hope I can have a baby. I just want a baby so much. And she said, you will. This will bring you luck. Working
Absolutely.
With these babies. And do you know I got pregnant while working on that film?
While working on the film. That is beautiful.
I know.
That is really great.
So that movie will always have a special.
Did you know? Did you find out?
No.
Wrapped?
The movie wrapped.
Uh-huh.
And then I found out.
Wow. Good choice. Right? Motherhood anything else.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Best role you've ever played.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And, just informs everything about your life.
Yeah. Brings it all home. Yeah, absolutely. That is so lovely. Okay, let's see what other questions we might have. Denise, do you still go to Trek conventions? What's coming up for you? Anything on the books yet or just?
I was just in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Doing where they had almost all of the Next Generation
together.
Oh, they
did, in fact. That was a big...
It was huge. I mean, it was great to see everyone.
I bet.
God,
yeah.
I hadn't seen Jonathan in ages.
Right. And a really close cast.
Yeah,
very
close.
Yeah.
Very close cast. So that was really fun. And now, I don't have anything. I'm going to do Dragon Con.
Oh, yeah.
But not till next year.
Okay.
Which I'd never done.
So. Oh, you're in for it, right? I mean, surely Dragon Con's reputation has preceded itself, right?
Absolutely.
Boy, I mean, I'm sure you all know out there, but describe what you've known about Dragon Con, if you would.
That it is just, this extreme party yeah. scene and naked people.
Right, exactly.
And I'm going to be sitting there signing my little autograph.
Exactly.
But, you know, hopefully by then, right. you know, mortuary, and because it's really right. encompasses, I guess, the whole
thing.
Genre
and more.
Thing. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And they're the goth boys in there.
Oh, right.
Vinyl corsets and they're caped girlfriends with the
and
actual dragons that people have on their shoulders. I mean, that have their life of their own that do things while they're completely. Oh yeah, it's a very interesting.
Oh, this
place
is going to be very
yeah.
bizarre.
Yeah, yeah. wouldn't that be an interesting place for
yeah.
you guys to
yeah
to shoot something
yeah, maybe,
one of these days?
Maybe
you know
for
I
Trekkies
mean,
3.
Or yeah, and the just the whole alternative subculture of. Sci-fi as opposed to Star Trek. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And genre.
Fantasy. And
yeah.
It gets a little more into that, I think, that area.
That's when it gets really out there.
Yeah.
You know? And I personally have seen a difference in, and you'll probably feel this way after you do Dragon Con, but you've done regular just sci-fi conventions
mm-hmm.
as opposed to Trek, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there some bit of difference? I mean, I see it,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
I think Trek fans... And, of course, there are exceptions to every rule, so I'm not offending anyone. I don't mean this bad, but Trek fans are very respectful.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
As possibly opposed to fans of other, you know, of horror genres and sci-fi.
Yeah.
I mean, the,
yeah,
know.
That's generally what I think. Yeah, there's a sort of calmer, you know, what would be the, you know, it's well, it is specific to that. To that show, you
yeah.
know, so
yeah.
there's not a lot of, you know, it's not a dark show, it's not,
yeah,
yeah.
That's, I think, a lot of what I mean.
You know, that
doesn't attract
right.
dark
right.
people.
Yeah,
right. We got it. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see, a couple of, actually, yes, Dragon Con, I think it's at dragoncon.org, you can definitely Google it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Denise will be there in 2006,
mm-hmm.
it usually takes place late in the summer, I think.
Yeah, I think that
Labor Day weekend, and it's in Atlanta, everybody,
mm-hmm.
so check that out, look that up. There you go. Space Tigger says, any future sci-fi projects on the horizon, except other than Dead Zone, he means. perhaps guest stars in Battlestar Galactica or Stargate would be cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I love to work in the genre. I think the fans really appreciate that. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm certainly open to
That's cool.
to it all.
That's cool. Yeah. We're doing, just by the way out there, fans of Stargate and Battlestar, this is all right that I say this, we're doing interviews with them beginning later in the summer, so definitely stay tuned for actors... interviews from those shows. A few more things of people that you've worked with, and I guess we've got, what, about 10 more minutes maybe,
mm-hmm.
if that's all right? People that you've worked with, John Ritter and Katie Sagal, that you did Chance of a Lifetime
mm-hmm.
with. What, I mean, I imagine because of the timing on it, that was probably when they first worked together, although I
yes.
didn't see that.
Yes.
And you played Katie. And I have not seen that, I must admit, so I'm sorry to have to ask, but did you get to work with them one-on-one or at all?
Yes.
Was there?
I was, well, that's the second time I had worked with John.
Oh, really?
He
Gosh.
Was, the first time was in Skin Deep, and he was great. I mean, he was amazing. And
Skin Deep. Okay.
I adored him.
Yeah.
And then I hadn't seen him, you know, for quite some time.
Yeah.
Until Chance of a Lifetime. And
okay.
I was sort of, I was the bartender, you know, at his local place.
Okay.
So he would always kind of, you know, share with me his woes and his, you know, his thoughts. And,
okay.
And we would bounce back and forth our sort of, but I think there was a kind of romantic thing that had been in the past with us, but it wasn't going to go anywhere. And we would, like,
oh,
we would
great.
Be with each other sometimes when there was nothing else to do.
Right, okay.
Kind of one of those
one
kind
of those.
Relationships.
Got
and
it.
Then he meets Katie, and it,
oh,
you know,
okay.
and then it, like, sort of straightens them out.
I
and,
have got
you know.
To see this.
Yeah, it's
is
a very
versatile?
Sweet
is
film.
It?
God, I don't know. It was a TV movie.
Okay.
TV movie,
okay.
so I don't know.
That sounds like a really neat.
Yeah, and you know, he was just great. He was just great to see, and we'd both
I
been
bet.
Through. I think we both had divorced by then, and you know, yeah. So we were, you know, he just brought me into his trailer, and we just caught up and, you know, chatted.
That's
and stuff.
So
he's a
neat.
Great guy.
Yeah, he's so. One of those people that you just
the rare ones.
Rare ones that you don't hear anything bad about at all. Everyone
no,
just raves.
He I that's how he was. You
yeah.
know, one of those people that's just generous.
Yeah.
Real, makes you feel welcomed, you know, no star stuff and, you know, all that.
Yeah, that is very, very cool. Well, check that out if you guys can. It's a TV movie that maybe you can find it somewhere. Another film that you did that I've heard got such lovely reviews. It's really, really well loved on the internet, and I wasn't able to find it yet. Max.
Oh, wow.
Tell me about that.
Max is a sweet film.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Oh,
and it's,
yeah.
It's gotten some really nice reviews, and a lot of people say it's very real.
It's very real. It's a very touching story. It's a Canadian film.
Okay.
That Canadian director, I say that because it's Canadian. We shot in Canada, Canadian director, Canadian mm-hmm. lead actor. And it's about a couple who... Their young son is diagnosed with like a disease,
something,
you know,
yeah,
something
is
not good,
autism,
you know,
sort of or something like that. It's
it is kind of a
he's shut down.
Yeah, yeah, it
and
is
verbally
sort of
shut down.
Right.
Yeah,
and
he doesn't.
We
speak.
Decide to just pack it up and leave the city and go out to nature.
Right.
I'm kind of reluctant about it because I'm so, you know, I'm so angry and so sad by this, and yet my husband is sort of almost like on a mission. You know,
mm-hmm.
he's myopic. He said, mm-hmm. you know, that's what it is. We're going to go out. We're going to screw the doctors, what they say. Mm-hmm. We're going to find, you know, a cure. We're going to just get out of here.
And they really bond, the father and
yeah.
Max.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so we end up, you know, basically homesteading in nature and finding kind of our true selves. And Max gets well, and, you know, it's kind of a sweet
right.
film.
Yeah.
And it's just the struggle that they make as mm-hmm. as a family.
And then people start disappearing or dying around Max? Is this something that happens like that? And you wonder if Max is... Sorry, maybe I got it wrong. There's
wait a minute. Is that... it's been
I
a long
so.
Time since...
It has, but it was one of the things that I just
I
thought
think
was
somebody
really
does,
interesting.
That does happen. I don't think a lot of... I think one person, if I'm not mistaken.
And you wonder if
yeah.
it's had anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Something dark happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
you know, I have to look at it again.
You know
again.
What? It's a credit to you to not remember every movie you've made. It's a good thing. That's great. Another movie you did with... this was way back, 10 years
oh God.
Ago, I guess.
Oh,
Armin,
Lord.
With Armin. With Armin Shimerman.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
the fans
yeah, yeah.
love to know about these things.
Oh, yeah.
Dream Man.
Yeah.
With Patsy Kensit.
Yep.
How was that?
That was very cool. Now, I was playing, and with Bruce Greenwood.
Right. And
yeah.
You played Barbara, and it's about a homicidal cop with...
Right.
Homicide cop, there's a difference.
Yeah.
With psychic abilities.
Right, that was Patsy.
And she needs to prove, I think, that someone's not guilty of child abuse, of I think, molesting a child.
Right, right. And I was playing... I think I have an affair with. It's with.
Maybe I'm confusing this.
No. It's with the other guy that was in.
Andrew McCarthy?
Andrew McCarthy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
God. Phew!
No,
I, this is racking
boy.
The. What
this episode
brain
title
cells.
God help
yeah,
us. It's kind of nice, though. Why does an actor.
Yeah, you remind. Nice. I don't think about this stuff, you know? It's like. It's just out there. You do your work and you go home. You
right.
know, the real life.
Exactly.
And then it's like, oh yeah, right. Yeah. Andrew McCarthy.
Well, he's got a body
yeah,
of
he's
considerable
the guy
work.
That's being investigated.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
And I
okay.
sort of play this
right.
woman who takes the fall for him.
Right.
Kind
okay.
of, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a very good girl in that one.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of bad.
Strange.
I
Tasha.
Recall. Sheila.
Oh, Sheila.
Yeah,
that's what I meant. That's what I meant.
Very good.
Very good. And she could kick Kurt's butt.
That's right.
Kurt's butt.
That's
so.
Right.
Good. Just maybe one or two more questions. Denise, before you depart, are there any other movies that you'd like to recommend for us?
Wow. Other movies.
Favorite spots in your career? Or
Gosh, let's see. Well, Miracle Mile is a great film.
Okay.
Yeah, that was an early... actually,
about that.
That was I was doing that movie right when I got the audition for Star Trek. That's with Mare Winningham and Anthony Edwards.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And it takes place in L.A., in the Miracle Mile. And it's the premise is that Anthony Edwards hears a payphone ringing and decides to pick it up. You know, it's like one of those things,
right.
Do you pick up the phone while you're walking by?
Right.
So he picks it up, and there's a kid in a missile silo.
Okay.
Who thinks he's called his family,
mm-hmm.
and to let them know, to say goodbye, that we've launched a nuclear attack.
Okay.
And now Anthony Edwards has this information.
Wow.
And he's really not supposed to know this.
So but
now
he launched.
They've launched, and we have, like, you know, 35 minutes.
And they call a payphone.
And he comes back into the diner, this all-night diner, mm-hmm. where we are the patrons at the moment.
Wow.
And he has to try and convince us what just happened, and what do we do?
Wow.
And who's going to believe him?
I bet that's an excellent
film. It's a
film.
Really good film. It's
I bet
a really
it is.
Good film.
And
I really highly recommend
he's
it.
He's such a lovely actor.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And a lovely
this
guy,
was, this
too,
was,
actually.
He was, absolutely is, and, you know, this was his... first, well, this was before ER. And
yeah.
So it was very cool.
Cool. Check that out, you guys. Miracle Mile with Denise and Anthony Edwards. Okay, we are going to be about out of time. Anything else? Anything else after we've talked for a solid hour nonstop about all the, you know, new and other things? I know actors sometimes have pet causes and stuff like that. We all, you know, do some things. Do you have anything that you'd like to say about anything like that? Or
God, well, I mean, look, I am
anything
big.
You want to say about anything, really. I always give everybody, and it's always something that kind of needs a moment of thought. So just at the end of the show, just...
Well, I think, you know, look, I think that I certainly want to see us get out of Iraq, you know, quickly.
Yeah.
As soon as we can. I don't know, you know, it's just heartbreaking to see these guys over there, you know, fighting a battle when they're not even, you know, they're not fully, their tanks aren't equipped, their things aren't working,
the
you
details
know.
The details are pretty horrific.
And this was not, I don't know how well planned this was,
absolutely.
You know, this is a little bit of a nightmare.
And it's gone on for too long.
This is not what we, I think, anticipated.
At all.
And so, you know...
At all.
God, listen, guys, if any of you are out there listening, I when I was in Paris about a month ago, Roger and I went to Paris to show Trekkies 2.
Oh, great.
To the French Trekkies, the French fans.
Oh, that's
fans.
So fun. Okay,
they invited
I've
us
heard about
it,
that.
It just came out on DVD in Europe.
That must have been fun.
Yeah, it was great fun. And the hotel we were at, where the convention was the sort of the airport hotel outside of Charles de Gaulle Airport. And one night after the screening, there were a couple of our soldiers that were en route back from Iraq.
Back to the States.
Back to the States.
Wow.
And, you know, we talked a lot, and they're great guys. They're working hard. They... you know, it's just an amazing concept that people, you know, are there fighting
and
for us,
not even
you know?
Necessarily for the war at all.
No, well, you know, they're not. And so, you know, if any of you guys are listening, you know, my heart goes out to you. And
absolutely.
And God bless and get home.
Yeah, absolutely. Our thoughts and prayers are absolutely with you guys if you're out there. And, I know that... you know, like you said, he said something about this, well, definitely the fans in Serbia, and I've heard this from other military people as well. I had a couple letters, I'm sure you have too, and you will mm-hmm. when you've got your website and all that. But, you know, they watch it as well. You know, out there I've heard people say, we've been on days-long missions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget a convention when one of the soldiers told me this, and she said, before we take a shower, when we came back, we would watch the show.
Mm.
you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, to be a part of something like that, that's not only American history and such a legacy, but that, you're right, as you've shown in your films, both of them so far, you know, that touches people so deeply.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's a great honor.
Yeah.
It floors me.
Yeah, very, very much so. Okay. Wow. Well, we are out of time, and this has been great. Thank you.
It has any time. I hope to come back and, you know.
I would love that. You
anytime.
Please keep us posted. And
yeah.
If you'd like to come back or anything, you know, closer to the date of mortuary,
mm-hmm.
We
that
would love to get maybe you and Tony in here. Toby, what am I saying?
Yeah,
Tony in here.
Yeah.
Who I've met and also maybe could
give
him a call and maybe we can do
absolutely.
Something on that before the release.
Absolutely.
That would be fabulous.
That'd be great.
And we're looking forward to Basement.
Basement Trek.
Basement Trek. Or whatever Trekkies 3 turns out to be. I'm sure in you and Roger's amazing creative minds, it'll be fabulous.
Oh,
you know,
thanks.
If and when it happens, we'll be waiting.
Okay.
And thank you so much again. All the best to you
and you.
And your family and your husband and Augie. It's
thanks, sweetie.
Really good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today on The Fandom with Denise Crosby. Please stay tuned to hear our next guest. Now, next Monday, the 4th of July, we're going to be off. But the Monday after that, the 7th of July, we've got a very special guest. LeVar Burton is going to be here in studio with you guys. And so we will really be looking forward to that. So please make sure, spread the word on that and join us at 4 p.m. Pacific on July the 11th for LeVar Burton. Meanwhile, thanks again to Denise Crosby, and it's been a pleasure having her, and all the best, you guys. We'll see you in 2 weeks at thefandom.com. Thanks again. Bye.
Two men, passionate actors, closest of friends. Born just 4 days apart, they share more than just being of the same generation, but a legacy that helped to define many generations. Now, they can finally look back with the only other person on the planet who can truly identify with their amazing journey. To boldly go where neither man has gone before. And along the way, reveal the secrets behind the voyage of a lifetime.
This is the most personal insight that they'll get into, certainly into this relationship. And into aspects of myself and Bill that they've never been aware of, never been privy to before.
I got divorced in the middle of the series and took affection from wherever I could find it. Not every week from every one of those beautiful girls who were on our show.
In an unprecedented one-on-one conversation filmed at Leonard Nimoy's home, the two most popular actors in the Star Trek universe share never-before-told stories about 35 years of friendship, fellow cast members, and the public and private impact the historic entertainment franchise has had on their lives.
They were contract people studying to see how much are we paying him, and if he asks for any more, tell him we'll get somebody else to wear the ears, that kind of thing. He wants a phone in his dressing room. Is it in the contract? No. No phone. No. And there was no give. There was no dealing in a familial way. That made me very confused.
And angry.
Very angry. And I went into therapy over it.
Our lives have followed very similar patterns in our marriages, our children, our financial circumstances, our emotional circumstances, our careers. So it's interesting to see Star Trek and our lives from each other's perspectives.
Here's my Vulcan.
Oh, no, Leonard. Vulcan. The USS Vulcan.
Yeah.
Did they name it after the
Coast Guard ship. Coast Guard ship. Called the Vulcan.
And then you got the Enterprise.
Well, of course.
This whole house is dedicated to Star Trek.
No, not the whole house. Just a little corner.
Both Shatner and Nimoy agreed the only format that would allow them to share the most private details of their lives was an intimate discussion without any moderator.
No way anybody could predict this journey, this long, this 35-year relationship. Impossible. I thought it was coming to an end several times. We were canceled at the end of the second season. I thought it's over. We came back for a third season and were canceled again. I thought, well, that's the end of that. Then the syndication happened. And we did the Star Trek motion picture. There was no plan to do a series of films. We kept meeting these endings and going on.
You're my best friend. That if it were for nothing else, right?
Yeah.
If for nothing else, it would have been
this makes it worth
most worthwhile. Right.
Two men, passionate actors, closest of friends. Born just 4 days apart, they share more than just being of the same generation, but a legacy that helped to define many generations. Now, they can finally look back with the only other person on the planet who can truly identify with their amazing journey. To boldly go where neither man has gone before, and along the way, reveal the secrets behind the voyage of a lifetime.
This is the most personal insight that they'll get into, certainly into this relationship, and into aspects of myself and Bill that they've never been aware of, never been privy to before.
I got divorced in the middle of the series and took affection from wherever I could find it. Not every week from every one of those beautiful girls who were on our show.
In an unprecedented one-on-one conversation filmed at Leonard Nimoy's home, the two most popular actors in the Star Trek universe share never-before-told stories about 35 years of friendship, fellow cast members, and the public and private impact the historic entertainment franchise has had on their lives.
They were contract people, studying to see what's it, how much are we paying him, and if he asks for any more, tell him we'll get somebody else to wear the ears, that kind of thing. He wants a phone in his dressing room. Is it in the contract? No. No phone. No. And there was no give. There was no dealing in a familial way. That made me very confused.
And angry.
Very angry. And I went into therapy over it.
Our lives have followed very similar patterns in our marriages, our children, our financial circumstances, our emotional circumstances, our careers. So it's interesting to see Star Trek and our lives from each other's perspectives.
Here's my Vulcan.
No, Leonard, Vulcan, the USS Vulcan.
Yeah.
Did they name it after the
Coast Guard ship? Coast Guard ship called the Vulcan.
And then you got the Enterprise.
Well, of course.
This whole house is dedicated to Star Trek.
No, not the whole house. Just a little corner.
Both Shatner and Nimoy agreed the only format that would allow them to share the most private details of their lives was an intimate discussion without any moderator.
No way anybody could predict this journey, this long, this 35-year relationship, impossible. I thought it was coming to an end several times. We were canceled at the end of the second season. I thought it's over. We came back for a third season and were canceled again. I thought, well, that's the end of that. Then the syndication happened, and we did the Star Trek motion picture. There was no plan to do a series of films. We kept meeting these endings and going on.
You're my best friend.
That if it were for nothing else, right?
Yeah.
If it were nothing else, it would have been
this makes it worth
most worthwhile.
Right.